This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Better stop now, what's that sound?
Let's stop the hour, America. Good to have you with us. This is Bill Martinez. Lots to talk about. Hey, what was your response to California now becoming officially a sanctuary state? This seems to be, a disease in and of itself. I don't know how they get there. You know, we have a president and a sentiment on Main Street America that we need to be reconnected with the purpose of the rule of law. And now we want to, some would want to break the law and accommodate sanctuary cities. Now, it's laughable in one sense when you think about what is happening in California. They're already bankrupt. And now they're putting their citizens at risk. And this is in the face of their vow that they take when they take office, that they are to serve and to protect its constituents. This is the reason to being. This is, you know, Donald Trump, and he's taken this seriously. Listen to this report here regarding a judge blocking the Trump administration's crackdown against sanctuary cities.
I want to go to Freedom Caucus member, Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs. And Congressman, first let me get your reaction on this ruling on sanctuary cities and Jeff Sessions withholding those block grants.
Well, I think it was probably expected that in a liberal circuit court, you're going to see this type of ruling. And it's a temporary ruling. It's an injunction. And I think, though, that if something like this were to go forward, I think they would bring a lot of dismay to people around the country. They've already, courts have already said states can intercede in enforcing federal immigration laws, and et cetera. And so it's really a judge here, I think, that's kind of taking a step back. I hope that he doesn't issue a permanent injunction going forward, because I think that the executive branch, this is perfectly within their realm of authority. This, we're talking specifically about the portions of the statute that an ordinance that prohibits Chicago from releasing people back on the streets. We want them, if they're there illegally, we want them brought to ICE. And that's what American people want.
Well, this is, again, problematic, between the states. And, of course, the government is saying we're going to withhold funds if you want to be a sanctuary city. And, of course, they'll work this out. It's a temporary injunction, as you stated. But this is, I think, a rather dangerous signal that the judiciary continues to demonstrate, is that, if the people decide on a different president than the one they like, then they're going to exercise from the bench their will. Go ahead.
Well, I think that this feels like the old, another thing that fathers commonly say to their sons. If you're going to live under my house, you're going to live under my rules.
Right, exactly.
But what these places are apparently saying is that, hey, I don't like your rules, but give me your money.
Exactly. Yeah, we still need your money, but we're not. Come on, we got rebellion going on, and with this kind of stuff happening, and if you don't like the rules, you want to change the law. There's due process in which to make that happen. But just to say stubbornly, we're going to go and do this, and now the state is in this particular case in California has said we're just going to be a sanctuary. We're not going to pick any bones about it. We're going to be a sanctuary state. Whatever all that means, other than they are resisting the rule of law at a federal level, and when the president's number one job is to protect American citizens, and I thought that was the case for the individual states, that is a consistent vow as well, but I guess maybe not in California. Anyway, that, of course, will continue to be debated. The story of Christian Saucier is coming up next. You'll want to hear this. This is Bill Martinez live at 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's brewing. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's brewing.
It's 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. Up next is an exclusive interview. This is the first time that Christian Saucier has told his story directly. Earlier in the year, we spoke with his mother, recently with his attorney, about his case. As you may recall, Christian is the U.S. Naval Chief Petty Officer and Machinist Mate First Class who was serving on the nuclear-powered attack submarine USS Alexandria in 2009 when it was in port in Groton, Connecticut. While there, he took 6 cell phone pictures for his family to illustrate the work he did in an area that was restricted from photo-taking. Now, years later, the cell phone was found and the photos discovered. Aside from this somewhat common infraction, which is often punished by being demoted to a lower pay grade and rank, Christian had served honorably with high praise from his superiors as an important and skilled member of the U.S. Nuclear Navy's elite Submariners Corps. Now, during the 2016 presidential campaign, the civilian court decision to sentence Christian to nearly a year in prison became a national topic when Donald Trump contrasted Saucier's harsh punishment to the non-punishment that Hillary Clinton enjoyed after having even beyond top secret communications and dozens of classified ones on her private and highly hackable server accessible with her cell phones. Christian now faces life without an honorable discharge, the likelihood that he will never be given security clearance, has suffered vehicle repossessions and foreclosures on his home. The Clintons, meanwhile, could afford to purchase a second house in Chappaqua, New York, and Hillary Clinton could freely look forward to becoming president, enjoying access to the most top secret and sensitive communications imaginable. Christian Saucier is now outfitted with an ankle monitor, which he must wear for 7 months. Christian Saucier, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you here with us to tell your story.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Christian, I know, you know, in talking to your mother and laying out the case and keeping this in front of, you know, the country, and also we're going to do a petition as well, you know, and deliver it to the president on this because your case needs to be looked at directly. And your attorney laid out your case for us last week in our conversation. But tell us your side of it. We want to hear it from you.
Like, first and foremost, you know, I made a mistake, and I take full responsibility for that. You know, I don't want anybody to say, well, he's not taking responsibility. You know, I did a year in prison, you know, and if I could go back and do it again, I wouldn't have done it. It was done, I guess you could say, for the right reasons. I didn't do it with a nefarious purpose. I did it because I was extremely proud of what I did in the Navy, and I wanted to have some token to remember it by, you know, and I know lots of people in various other branches even that take pictures of where they work and what they did, and it's
right.
just so they have mementos for later on in life when they can look back and say, wow, I was proud of that, you know?
Exactly. Now, when you were doing this, did you think of the consequences that you could be in trouble here? Or is this kind of the typical, you know, I mean, the current generation, they selfie everywhere. It doesn't matter. I mean, they're taking pictures, and it's just all part of the culture.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody was doing it. Not that that makes it okay, but, you know, I wasn't the way they presented it, they tried to make it seem like I was the sole person doing that. But, I mean, two other people at my command were doing the same thing, and they only got non-judicial punishment and, you know, a fine. And so when I was doing it, I never, ever could have imagined that it would have ended up like this.
Now, these two other guys, Christian, excuse me for interrupting you, but these two other guys that were in your command, did they take the pictures at the same time as you took yours, or did this happen years before? Okay, so at the same time, the three of you are taking pictures. They basically get a slap on the hand and then go on with your story.
Yeah, so, I mean, both of them are, you know, they're still in the Navy. One of them even made officer and is, you know, continuing on with a very bright career. You know, it was merely a hiccup in their career. They got punished, but they were able to move on and go forward. Mine, they took it to this extreme because they wanted to make an example of somebody. And, you know, not just on the military scene, because they could have court-martialed me or non-judicial punished me because I was still active duty in the military until only a few months ago.
Yeah.
But they wanted to make an example on the national scene, and that's what it was all about, politics and, you know, what they could make it look like.
Kind of amazing that they would use you as an example when they've got Hillary Clinton loud and clear dealing with her impeachments of classified information. I mean, what you did pales in significance.
Oh, yeah. Well, but I was an easy target. You know, I was an E-6 in the Navy. I couldn't afford to put up the kind of legal defense that Hillary Clinton could have, you know.
Yes.
You know, and also, you know, until now, I wasn't able to really speak out about it because I was still in the military, and you're not allowed to speak out publicly while you're in the military. So I was an easy guy to go after. Here I, you know, can't really defend myself in the court of public opinion, and, you know, it's something that it was easy to make an example of me versus if they'd gone after her, you know, who knows how much time it would have taken in court and stuff like that with her.
Yeah, how much time and money. But why you? Why not the other two?
Honestly, I don't know. I think because mine happened, you know, shortly after, like, they found my phone and all this stuff came out a couple years after these guys did. I think mine came out around the same time that the FBI was real upset about, and that Obama administration was really trying to say that they were tough on leakers and stuff like that. But I wasn't a leaker, but they were upset about, you know, Snowden getting away and not getting punished, and they were upset about the Manning thing, and they wanted to show that they were tough on it. And like I said, I was an easy target, you know what I mean? So it was kind of one of those things where they could kind of go after me with no worry about repercussions, you know?
Well, Christian, this has to be so frustrating because I think, you know, when we talk about things that are fair and unfair, we learn this at an early age. You know, we don't mind consequences as long as they are fair. And you're sitting there trying to process this deal because, as your attorney explained to us last week, you weren't even, you know, judged by a military court. They took you into civil court on this.
Yeah, I mean, that's like I said, there's no other reason that I can fathom for it other than they wanted it to be a national thing. You know, I mean, even my sentencing, you know, because I pled guilty, I accepted responsibility, and, you know, I thought, okay, we're going to go forward, we're going to get sentenced. My sentencing lasted all day long because they wanted to make a big scene of it. You know, the prosecution came in and presented all these witnesses to make it out that I was this horrible individual and everything. And they went from, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning on till in the evening because they wanted to, at that point, it was just rubbing salt on the wound. You know, I'd already accepted responsibility. I was willing to take whatever punishment they handed out to me. There was no need for it other than they wanted to grandstand to make a scene out of it.
Well, Christian, when I first heard your story, of course, being former military, former Marine myself, and I started looking into the details, it was most upsetting. And when we come back, I mean, the consequences to you have been extreme. Not only have they taken away a career from you, Your family has been compromised. I mean, it's one thing to start all over again, but it's like you're starting 50 yards off the starting line with what they did to you. And I want to get into more of that when we come back. Christian Sasse, this is his story, and the first time that he's telling it since he's been out of prison. Now that he's no longer attached to the Navy, he is free to tell his story. And you decide, ladies and gentlemen, is this fair or unfair? And should we not, you know, move forward with presenting a petition to the president himself, who said he wanted to get involved? He thought this was unfair himself.
You want to save money in a place that gives you growth, control, and certainty without stock market risk or tax risk, and you want guarantees, and you want it all tax-free. That's a tall order. But you can get all of that with properly designed participating whole life insurance. Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But you can have tax-free access to use your life insurance while you're alive. Get the free book to find out how. Call 702-660-7000.
Buy, sell, make offer.com is better than ever. I'm Pat Matthews, here to tell you that buysellmakeoffer.com, the revolutionary site for buying and selling anything and everything, just upped the ante. Go right now to buysellmakeoffer.com and click the sign me up button. When you do, you'll get the first month free, and then it's just $9.95 a month to be a member forever. And you don't need a credit card for the initial setup. Create your own store on the site and sell whatever you want, as long as it's legal, however you want, and sell an unlimited number of items. Create your own intro video to describe what your store is all about. Use Skype to see who you're buying from or selling to. So unused household items, as well as antiques, cars, televisions, collectibles, real estate, the possibilities are unlimited. Use social networks to promote your store right from our site. Remember, there are never any fees, no matter how much you sell. Become a member today. I'm a member. Get all your friends to sign up too. This could become a great business for you. Sell whatever you want for the first 30 days free at buysellmakeoffer.com.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Are you a Catholic with traditional values, seeking traditional worship, but are fed up, angry, and disgusted by corruption in the church? If so, then consider Servants of the Holy Family, a community of priests and brothers who are fighting those who have infiltrated the church, intending to create a one-world government and one-world religion. Help and support this great cause. Visit servi.org, spelled S-E-R-V-I.org. Come to our Mass. Become a priest or brother now at servi.org.
Someone once said, live free or die, right?
When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley,
It's the way you like me. Fresh every day, 9 to noon, Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Christian Saucier is with us. He is telling his story the first time since he's been out of prison. He's the U.S. Naval Chief Petty Officer, a machinist mate, first class, who was serving on the nuclear-powered attack submarine USS Alexandria in 2009. When he took 6 cell phone pictures for his family to illustrate the work he did in an area that was restricted from photo taking. Christian, when you, I'm sitting here thinking, you're an E6. How long had you been in the military at this point?
At the point that I got out?
At the time you got out. How much time do we have in the military?
11 years, a little over 11 years.
See, this is absolutely disgusting. The investment that the United States of America, the people have invested in you, Christian, to arrive at an E6. An E6 isn't some lowly level. I mean, you are an established force and asset to the U.S. Navy. And to be treated like this is absolutely... dishonoring, and it's disgusting, dishonoring on many levels, not only to you and your family, but to the American people who have invested in you to get you to this point. And here you are serving with distinction. Reports were always, you always got high reports and everything. You were probably, were you on your way to Officers Candidate School? I kind of sense that maybe that was even in your future.
It was a possibility. I was happy being enlisted. I was working my way up. I was in a supervisory position towards the end. And then when this all investigation started, I was actually working at an instructor facility as an instructor, training people how to operate nuclear power plants. So, I was working my way up, and I fully intended on making it a career and given 20 years to the Navy. This obviously threw a pretty big wrench in it, but I was, when I made the mistake of taking the pictures, I was pretty young. I'd only been in the Navy for a couple of years, and it was a stupid mistake of a junior sailor. But by the time that I was an E6, I'd been in for quite a bit of time.
So how old were you when in 2009?
21.
Yeah, so you're 21 years old, and here it is. 9 years later, this comes into play.
Yeah. Yep.
So, meanwhile, all this investment in you, and here you're rising through the ranks with honor, and you're having to reconcile a mistake that you made 9 years previous. Was this complicated, Christian, because you happened to throw the phone away and you didn't smash it or bleach bit it or something? Did that exacerbate the problem?
Probably. They tried to say that it was some nefarious purpose, but they could never really say, what. And I think that, once again, they tried to make a mountain out of a molehill and make it into something that it wasn't, I think that's the problem, here, is that they were trying to use me as an example. So unless it fit the narrative that they wanted, they didn't want to hear it.
Well, when you threw the phone away, what was it that motivated you to throw the phone away? What happened? What led up to that?
I don't even remember throwing it away. It was just at that point, I didn't even remember that I had that phone or whatever. And, it was an older phone, so I probably just threw it away not thinking anything of it.
So were the pictures ever transferred from that phone so that they could be a keepsake?
It had an SD card on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you kept the SD card, or no? That stayed in the it had to stay in the phone because that's how they found out that the pictures were on the phone, right?
Yep. I don't recall the whole situation that surrounded me throwing the phone away, but it happened. I don't know if my ex-wife would have had access to it, and maybe she did it, or what was the deal? But it ended up in the trash, and then they found it and they said, okay, these are pictures that it shouldn't have been on here. And then it went from there, So,
and so here you are now. Your mother shared with us, Christian, that you have some medical issues, and now you've lost your medical with the military. You've got, a 2-year-old daughter just turned 2, a day or two before you got out of prison, right?
Yeah, right. The day after I got out of prison, she turned two. And
And you've got this anklet for the next 7 months. How are you surviving, Christian?
Well, I mean, it's tough right now. We're behind on, you know, we lost, our vehicles got repossessed, our house is in foreclosure. You know, I'm positive though, after this first month, I can actually go out and get a job. The first month at house arrest, I'm not allowed to leave home, but after that, I can start working and hopefully I'll be able to find a job and be able to make some money and try to get us back on the right track. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be years digging ourselves out of this financial hole from, you know, all the legal expenses and everything, you know, that this cost us. And, but, you know, I'm positive for the future. We'll figure it out. And, it's just, you know, keep on going forward. That's all we can do.
Well, Christian, what I hear from your mother and your attorney and hearing from you today, you know, you're an impressive young man. And as my dad used to tell me all the time and remind me, the cream always rises. It may be a little bleak right now, but I am confident that you're going to be more than okay, that you and your family through this ordeal. I mean, this is, there's no doubt anybody hearing this story, can relate to the unfairness of this. This is not right. And I got to tell you, during the 2016 presidential campaign, when President, then candidate Trump brought it up and understood the unfairness of this clearly and spoke about it, I think we need to keep it in front of him and remind him that you are now out and ready for a pardon and ready for a chance to, you know, get at the starting line if it is to pursue a civilian career. If it was my choice, Christian, I'd get your butt back into the military right away. Because I mean, for all the money and where you're at and the investment in it, that would be me. I mean, if it was my sole decision, I would preempt everything and get you back in there, because I think you're the quality person that we look for in the military to be a part of what it's all about and the lessons that you've learned to go through. I think it's a shame that we would throw the baby out with the bathwater on this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they'd have me back at this point, but I, you know, it's sad. I mean, I really love the Navy. I was extremely proud. I mean, I have USN tattooed on my arm. I have, you know, my warfare pin tattooed on me. I've always been extremely proud of it.
Yes.
And, you know, through it all, I mean, other than this, I have zero blemishes on my naval career. I mean, I never even got counseled on anything or anything like that. I mean, my evaluations were always positive and, you know, I was going in the right direction. And, it's just kind of a shame that all this happened, you know.
Well, Christian, I want you to know you're not alone in this. I know your mom's been there. You got attorneys, you've got family and friends that have supported you, and this national audience. You know, I hope that you can sense that they're reaching out to you and supporting you in whatever way we can. And as I said, I'm going to talk with Ron and see what we can do to ignite a petition that will go straight to the president and ask respectfully that the commander-in-chief consider some justice on this on your behalf and on your family's behalf, because right from all instances, and that what we can understand is greatly unfair. And as I said, Christian, I mean this, if it was me and it was my decision, I'd have your butt back in the Navy right away.
I appreciate it. I mean, I appreciate you and all your listeners' support. I mean, it means a lot. You know, when I was in prison, and my wife would tell me that a lot of people, there was an outpouring of support. It meant a lot to know that there was people out there that truly cared and were at our back, you know.
Well, Christian, all the best that we can send your way to you and your family and your wife. I know this has been an excruciating time for you, but I am confident that all will be well for Christian Saucier and his family, okay?
Thank you. We'll make it through it.
All right, you got it. Hang in there. Thank you so much. Christian Saucier telling his story on Bill Martinez Live. It's 29 minutes after the top of the hour.
This report is brought to you by Express Scripts. For the 10,000 people who become Medicare eligible every day, choosing a Part D prescription drug plan is stressful, particularly when they learn choices made when first enrolling could have long-term financial impact. For current beneficiaries, reevaluating their plan is key to ensure 2018 coverage still meets their pharmacy needs. Rebecca Rabbit, PharmD.
There will be several updates to Medicare Part D plan offerings in 2018, so newly eligible and current beneficiaries need to start preparing now to be ready to enroll in a plan that best suits their needs. This includes creating a list list of medications and local pharmacies, and mapping out annual medical and pharmacy expenses. This information will make it easier to evaluate current plans and explore new ones when information becomes available on October 1st. Plan enrollment begins October 15th and it ends December 7th, so it's important to start early and carefully evaluate options to choose the best plan.
For more information and tips on choosing the right Medicare Part D plan, visit roadmapformedicare.com or medicare.gov.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
If you're a sleep apnea sufferer who's on the go to your phone and call right now to try the world's first portable mini CPAP device, absolutely risk-free for 10 restful nights. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP, an engineering marvel that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. Its unique design is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. No more dragging around a big, bulky CPAP. Even better, now you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 restful nights by calling MiniCPAP.com, 1-800-962-4276. Transcend is FAA compliant, too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. You can also add a battery pack that's as tiny as a deck of cards. So now you can enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. But don't wait. To receive your 10-night in-home trial, call MiniCPAP.com now, 1-800-962-4276. That's 1-800-962-4276.
Someone has to stand up and say it. Bill Martinez, live.
Keep fighting the good fight. Who will fight on their knees. Lord, call us to battle. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up.
Keep fighting the good, fighting the good, fighting the good, fight, good, fight.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's Way You Like Me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, as we continue together to fight the good fight with you, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. John Toth is back with us. John is the No Barriers Warriors Director, and we're going to be talking about vets with disabilities to overcome personal and physical barriers by climbing Mount Brooks. Wow. That's what I love about you, John. There's always something new to conquer, isn't there?
You know, we're always looking for new challenges to put in front of our veterans to show them that they can overcome the barriers that they might have brought with them from their military service.
Well, it's in their DNA, and they just need to have that opportunity. And what No Barriers has been doing is quite commendable. Now, also on the line with us is a vet, former Marine, Semper Fi, who joined the Marine Corps when he was 18 years old. Wade Spann is with us. Wade, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Doing well, Bill. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, tell us a little bit about your story.
Sure thing. Born and raised in Fairfax, Virginia. Grew up 18, joined the Marine Corps. Went off to Parris Island where 9/11 happened while I was in boot camp. Subsequently, my four-year enlistment turned into three deployments to Iraq during the invasion. Following year, did the spring offensive in the Fallujah. From there, I got wounded by a roadside bomb. And on my third deployment in 2005, I did the Ramadi. And then I decided to get out and head home and get my education. And then started working in the workforce in the corporate world.
Wade, to the point I was just making with John just a moment ago, some people would say, wait a minute, you were wounded and you didn't get out then? You went back for more. But that is the nature of the warrior class that we're so privilege to share breath and air with.
Thank you, Bill. Just was, you know, at the time, that's the way things were. And, you know, Marine Corps needed me to be there, and I humbly accepted that responsibility.
Well, we can't thank you enough, Wade, for stepping up, even after being wounded. And now here you are part of and participating with the No Barriers Warriors. Tell us about that, if you would, Wade.
Sure. I applied in January this year, put a lot of emotion, put a lot of heart into that application. And when I got the phone call from John that I was selected, I was very emotional. I think I had some dust in my eyes or something like that.
Right.
Preparing myself for the first trip out in Colorado, I started training. I started getting my, my feet under me, getting walking around, doing hiking, putting some weight on my back, and preparing just like I was in the Marine Corps, back in the infantry, getting that ready. And then after that first expedition, I was motivated, and I just committed myself to prepare for this the summit to Denali on Mount Brooks. And that preparation, took me back to my roots, what the Marine Corps taught me, which was, be dedicated, be committed, and, be a good communicator. And so when I met my team out here and we worked closely together, we became stronger as a rope team. And, we overcame some barriers, not just physically, but mentally as well.
Well, John, we've talked before about the No Barriers Warriors. Remind everybody, bring them up to speed what you're doing, and of course with this new conquest that's lying before this team climbing Mount Brooks.
Well, we really, the Warriors program want to remind veterans about the strength that they have within them, and we do that by putting a challenge in front of them in the wilderness, something that, inspires them, something that creates a little bit of adversity. We bring together a group of veterans to form a rope team to go out and face that challenge. And by putting that challenge in front of them, we really can show them that what's inside them is stronger than what's in their way. And this Warriors to Summits expedition, which is sponsored by Wells Fargo, is the biggest one that we run every year, and it is the most challenging opportunity that we have. And, it's very rewarding for me to watch the veterans grow from the experience and to see them overcome the obstacles that are out there.
This kind of gives them a little bit of a process to recover, because the injuries vary, don't they, John?
Yeah, I mean, our participants have both visible injuries such as amputations or burns, as well as invisible injuries like post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury, survivor's guilt. There's really a wide range of disabilities across our programs that they have to overcome, and we try to give them the best opportunity to face them and understand that those barriers don't define them and don't really hold them back.
Wade, I know you don't think about this selfishly. I can tell that already. But what do you hope for you and your team to draw out of this experience, this climb of Mount Brooks that lies ahead of you?
I mean, for us going forward is really making positive changes in our life to better ourselves and our family. For the rest of the team, we came together, and the goal, I think, for all of us is to stay together. We come from all over this great nation, but we're going to stay in communication with each other, support each other as we take on other endeavors in life. And the hope is that through this type of healing, we can go on and contribute and help other veterans going forward.
Well, John Toth, I appreciate you and Wade joining us. I know we got about a little over a minute left here, time-wise, but explain to our audience why it's so important for today's vets to get back in their community, how the Warriors Project, the No Barriers Warriors Project, is facilitating that, and what they can do to come alongside and support your efforts.
Well, I think, as veterans, we have this instilled concept of service that we take with us from
the military when we leave. And I think by continuing that service, it makes the transition easier. We really try to inspire the participants to pay the gift forward to someone else. You know, we're very lucky to have Wells Fargo as a sponsor that enables the participants to participate without cost. And so we encourage the participants to set a goal to do something meaningful, to develop themselves and give back to the community after they get home following the expedition, you know, to kind of give them a motivation to keep going.
Well, and where can they go for more information? We got about 5 seconds left.
They go to nobarrierswarriors.org or to our Warriors to Summits webpage where they can apply themselves or nominate a friend or a family member who's a veteran who might benefit from this experience.
Well, John Toth, No Barriers Warriors Director, thank you for being with us. Wade Spahn, a veteran himself, former Marine, Semper Fi, my brother. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate you having us again.
You got it. Bill. Anytime. Thanks a lot. Take care. God bless. Well, I'll tell you, you know, the No Barriers Warriors program is just, you know, another one of those godsends that's helping, you know, our injured vets that suffer, as John said, from the spectrum of injuries of war, you know, from PTSD to amputated limbs. I mean, it is amazing. And the fact that these men and women are back in the saddle. I mean, they're training, they're strengthening themselves mentally and physically. And to take on the summit is just, you know, absolutely incredible. Mount Brooks is what they're going to be climbing. Hey, by the way, a little programming note for you. If you would like a copy, I've been meaning to share this with you. John Piper has 120 daily meditations, The Satisfied Soul. It's incredible. I highly recommend it, and I have some free copies to give away. If you're interested, drop me a line, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Say, look, I'd like a copy, and we're going to draw out the names after this Friday. So just send me an email, just that simple, for John Piper's 120 Daily Meditation, Satisfied Soul. It's incredible. It's a compilation of a couple of his books, some new stuff in there as well. So if you've been looking for a daily devotional, kind of a quick read, you know, sometimes you just need that moment of respite that you can reconnect with the spiritual, and this is an incredible. You're going to be blessed by this.
Businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guarantee quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
This report is brought to you by the National Cybersecurity Alliance. Many consumers do not fully understand how to protect their personal information online. They need to carefully consider the data they continuously generate about themselves and others from their mobile devices and PCs. Michael Kaiser with the National Cybersecurity Alliance.
Your personally identifiable information is like money. Value it, protect it. At staysafeonline.org, the National Cybersecurity Alliance offers free tips for keeping a clean PC and protecting your privacy online. For tips on how to protect your smartphone or tablet, check out DigitalU at onlinesafety.att.com. DigitalU is a program from our friends at AT&T that provides free tips and tools for protecting your devices and data, keeping your personal information secure, and keeping you safe online.
Protect your privacy online. Visit the National Cybersecurity Alliance at staysafeonline.org and AT&T Digital U at onlinesafety.att.com for more information.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
You know, it's all about context. You know, you hear about clapping like a room without a roof. I mean, you got to remember, I'm here in Florida, and for those that were in Texas, lots of rooms without roofs these days, let me tell you. And then now they tell us we got Maria, oh, Lord have mercy, hanging out there and has now been categorized a 3, as projected to be a 4, and passing through some of the islands previously that Irma said hello to. So we'll keep you abreast, and of course we'll hear more about that in the coming days. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here with you, and I've got a real special guest. Mitali Perkins is with us, a book that she has written, You Bring the Distant Near. She's a best-selling author. 5 girls, 3 generations, 1 great American love story. Mitali Perkins, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm fine, Bill. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, good to have you here. You're on the East Coast. Normally, you're based in God's country there in the beautiful area of the Bay on the West Coast. Yes. So we have you here on the East Coast side. So the good news is you know, we got like normal hours. Otherwise, they'd be calling you early.
Absolutely. It's good to be awake. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, your book, You Bring the Distant Near. Wow. I mean, just by its mere title and suggestion, there's a lot packed into there. Explain to our audience.
The book is really fiction based on our life. I'm sitting here in the Queens Public Library in Flushing. We first arrived here in the 70s as an immigrant family, and so it's really a love story for America, because it's really what America does best, is it brings people who are far away, close to us, family, neighbors, friends, and the best that America can be is when people are in proximity to each other and neighboring each other. It's sort of a love story, because that's what America did for our family. So that's what the book's based on. It's fiction, so that I can feel free to make up stuff as I go along, but it's pretty much based on our experience.
Yeah, and you know, and I appreciate your perspective of what you've taken away in terms of your experience as an immigrant. so often forget in the conversation, the political discourse, and the cultural discourse that we have today about America is that, unlike you, they may not have experienced a bad to good difference. And not that we're claiming America is always good. I mean, look at last time I checked, we're composed of human beings with all our foibles and less than, failings. We make that up. But I'll tell you, for the ideal, and I believe it's a God-given ideal that supports liberty and an opportunity for people to realize their God-given potential, what other country on the planet offers this?
Right. And even when you talked about the hurricanes, and I can tell you I have family that are still in India, and people watch in awe at the response of Americans to calamities. The calamities are terrible, but when they watch how people in America respond and gather together, it really does showcase the best of what happens in this country.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mitali, for you, and you bring the distant near, the thing is, I've often spoken of the homogenization of cultures of this country because of freedom. I mean, you can come together in neighborhoods and you meet neighbors. In fact, I was at a church here recently, and I shared with our audience that the pastor just took a survey of how many cultures were in that sanctuary of about 1,000 people. 172 different cultures were represented at that service. And that's incredible to me. We enjoy it, and for those of us that have been able to assimilate and welcomed our neighbors, there's all kinds of good food, there's great stories. They abound if you're open and you listen and you're willing to engage your neighbor.
Yes, and I think there's a sadness to losing your village of your origin. So when I say I'm Bengali American, I can link back to a particular village in what is now Bangladesh.
Mm.
And I'm not that far from that. My dad's stories, we grew up hearing it. But the longer you stay here, the more disconnected we are from our villages. And then you end up just being labeled as a color instead of a culture and a language. And there's a loss there. I think there's a hunger for village that's all throughout America. You can remake your own new villages, and that's fabulous to see. But there is that hunger. You see a lot of genealogical searching and a hunger for ancestry these days that I think is that longing for our villages.
And I think that's been taking place. I mean, a lot of Black America has experienced that in realizing their roots back to Africa, and their stories now that are abounding of certain aspects of people's culture. And they're realizing that. And I said, great, embrace it. That's part of who you are. That's great. But again, be thankful for your new adopted country that is taking you in with arms open wide and saying, okay, as you say, what's the next chapter of your life story going to be?
Right. And I think that's that little dash in between your identity, whether you're Latin American or you're African American or you're Asian American. I feel very grateful for that, because I think that keeps you very close to just being a child of God and not really affiliating too strongly, embracing both sides, the American side and then the village of my origin. But really at the core, those of us who aren't original Native Americans, we all have a little dash in there somewhere that connects us as children of God. And that's the closer we stay to that, I think the better off we are.
Well, no doubt about it. That is the unifying factor of all things, is our relationship with God himself. When you look at the ideal of America and its Judeo-Christian foundings, I challenge people. I say, look back in the history of this country and even the world and tell me where God was not evident at every good and positive turn. I don't know of one, Mitali. I'm open to it, but yet there's this culture battle that has taken place, and certainly this Christian or anti-God sentiment that abounds, and it just astounds me. I go, wait a minute. It's like here you pray that and sing songs of God bless America, and now you arrogantly say, that's okay, we'll take it from here. Really?
Well, one of the best and finest gifts that America gave to me was that I didn't get to hear about Jesus until I came here. And all the way until college, nobody took the time to tell me the truth of that God loved me and loved me enough to send Jesus until I was in college. Mm-hmm. And then once I heard, it was just, I read the Gospels and I was overwhelmed with the truth of it. And I feel, there's a chapter in my story about that. A girl like me who was raised very much far outside the church, mm-hmm. and then is drawn into the heart of the church just by that loving pull of Jesus. And so even in these times, I really see that God can do something pretty amazing and is never too far away from all the things that are happening. And it feels like the church is on the margins. That's kind of where we grow, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's the place where people like me, little girls from far away, that's where we were. That's where I was. The church came and found me. So I'm hopeful. I think it's going to be a good time for the church in America.
Well, I think so, too, because, you know, as I often tell my kids, experience defines preference. And this country is experiencing a lot of, I'd say, chaotic things right now. And God has a way, because God is a God of order, and by right. His mere presence in any of these situations, surprisingly, order can happen, can't it?
Yes, and I think it takes that time of forgiveness and healing as a country, and there. And that's where the Holy Spirit can come and bring us together and cross borders. And I do think it's always better for the church to be a little bit closer to the margins, not in the center of power, whatever country it's in. And I think it's going to be a time of growth for the church, a time when the church remembers who we really are and who Jesus really is. It's going to be an exciting time of renewal and revival in my eyes. I've already seen it starting in some of the younger churches. It's kind of, I think it's going to be an exciting time.
Well, Franklin Graham shared with us last year that he's been traveling the country and having prayer sessions and thousands of people who show up. Of course, that's something the media is not going to talk about. But as you say, we've got individual bonfires that are starting around this country because people have had enough of the pain. They've had enough of the silliness of doing it their own way and according to their own eyes, as the Bible would say. And they say, look, I cannot violate godly principles any more than I can violate the law of gravity, can I?
Absolutely not. And I think God can bring a little Hindu girl like me to a new country and make this place feel like home and bring me to the heart of the church. Now I'm married to a pastor. God can do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yours has been an incredible story. And, of course, you take, as you say, the liberty of fiction, which is always a blessing. It's good to have fiction at times where you can write the story of five girls, three generations, and one great American love story from somebody who's been there, done that, and bought the T-shirt, right?
Right, and I'm so grateful because the book does have a strong thread of faith in it, and I was wondering, it was published by a secular publishing house, and I was wondering what the reception would be like in the big literary world out there, but it's just been shortlisted and longlisted for the National Book Award, which is kind of an amazing outcome for the book, so I'm really excited and grateful. I feel like God has really opened that door, and that's why I've been traveling a lot and having a chance to speak into to the lives of people that I would never otherwise get a chance to tell my story to. So I'm very glad and grateful for that.
Well, it's a refreshing story in this time where immigration and laws are being debated right now, and you bring some sobriety and experience that has long been needed. Mitali Perkins, congratulations on You Bring the Distant Near. Excellent book. Great read, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. You will love this, and it's available at all the usual places and linked at our website as well. Thank you, Mitali.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
The answer.